Welcome to each one. I'm going to do a change up here this morning, and I know we announced for next Sunday, but I think what I'm going to do is do my message next Sunday of what I had shared or was planning to share, but I'll do a segment here what I was going to do anyhow, but I'm not going to keep y'all real late here this morning. I would like for all the kiddies to come forward, and the older ones can sit right here. And over here, and then the younger ones can just sit right around here. And I've got a story for you this morning. I thought about letting y'all sit at your seats, but I figured that y'all can hear better if you're up front here. Y'all can sit right here. All the little guys can sit over here. The big guys like Ricky and that can sit on the benches. And over here too. Isaiah and Bryson, why don't y'all come over here and sit over here? Y'all sit right here. Sit right down here. Just sit on the floor. Sit. Like this. Am I on? Okay. Once upon a time, not too long ago, this is a true story.
Mommy and Daddy had a big deer.
We already heard that story, though, didn't we?
We saw a deer on the road before. And we took our car to the body shop.
Okay. But you let me tell my story now, okay? Y'all can tell your story later. But I want to tell my story. And this story is about a black chicken. And you know what? I have some black chickens. Yeah. And I had a black chicken that always kept getting out of the pen. You know how it would get out? It would fly. And so I was like, first of all, I put it back in. And it would just be that same afternoon, it would be out again. Finally, I was like, you know what? That chicken wasn't laying eggs anyhow. It can just die. If something gets it, that's going to be its fault. Well, I finally put it back in the pen again, but I decided, well, I'm going to clip its one wing so it can't fly. It still got out. Then I even tried to put duct tape on its wings, on its one wing, so it couldn't fly right. It still got out. Well, one day, we got a phone call from one of the neighbors, and they said, there is a chicken over by their house, and a dog has it in its mouth. And they said that you can maybe come over there and get it. I was like, well, that chicken's already dead, because you know what happens when a dog gets a chicken? Once a dog tastes that blood, it's curtains time for that. That chicken is all over with, ain't it? Yeah. But Gene, he decided he's going to go over and get that chicken. And so he did. And he brought it back over. Guess what that chicken looked like? Do you think it was still living? It was still living. I couldn't believe it. But it had part of its side was showing, the bare skin was showing, its feathers were missing. And it just really was in bad shape. It couldn't hardly walk. It was like, with its one foot, was limping. But I couldn't believe that it wasn't dead. Well, I took and put it in the chicken pen again. And you know what happened again? The other chickens started pecking on it. And Gene said, you can't leave it in with the other chickens. The other chickens will kill that chicken because they pick on the part that's already hurt. So I had to put another pen inside the chicken pen to keep that chicken in. So that chicken was inside the fence. Do you ever get tired of your mom and dad maybe putting fences around you, kind of telling you can't do things and not letting you do things? That's what it feels like sometimes. It feels like you just like to fly out, because that chicken, it liked to fly out, and it liked to just experience the whole world. But you know what? That chicken, when it got outside of that wire fence, it was no longer in a safe environment. That chicken, when it was outside that fence, there was all kinds of animals that would just love to have a chicken dinner that day if it was not inside the fence. And you know, that's why so often when your parents punish you for doing something that you shouldn't do. It's because you sort of went outside the fence what they said that you're allowed to go, kind of, right? And so even though you don't understand a lot of times why your parents do what they do in disciplining you and maybe spanking you and doing some of these things, they have good reasons why they do it. It's because they want to keep you safe. They want to protect you. That's what God gave you parents for. Okay, that's the end of my story. Y'all go sit down. If y'all would turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16, verses, I'm going to read 13 through 20. But parents, this morning, if you could just stop and imagine a little bit what life would be like if your children would perfectly understand and would perfectly comply to the outrageous demands that you have on them. And I say outrageous demands according to what your children think sometimes. And how crazy strict you are with them. And how harsh you are with them. But if they could perfectly understand that, and perfectly understand that even if they don't understand, they will still perfectly obey you. Imagine a life like that. Well, keep imagining, because that's a fantasy. It's not going to happen. But if our children could grasp that concept of what mom and dad are doing as they see it against them or hurting them or bringing all these punishments towards them, if the children could understand that mom and dad are doing it for my good, and so in order to avoid that, if I would just perfectly comply to their wishes, their lives would tremendously increase in the quality that they have. But they don't. Your life would tremendously increase in the quality that you have if your children would be like that, but they won't. There are no analogies and no theories in this world that carry out all the way to the end. There's extremes in everything of theories and analogies that we carry out. We can even feel a certain way about something, but at some point, what we feel about that thing can actually, it doesn't hold out. And I think you can look at example after example in life that it's like that. There's a talk show, a conservative talk show that I listen to. Some of y'all might know him. I'm sure some of you do. Dennis Prager. He's not a Christian, but he is a believing Jew. So he would not believe that Jesus already came back. He would still be waiting on the Messiah, which is sad. But having said that, he's what we'd call a very good person. But he was talking here the other week of the subject of the death penalty. And for himself, he is all in favor of the death penalty, that it is merited at times. Well, for us as non-resistant Christians, and listen here, I hope this is you, because if it's not you, you need to rethink what you think of being non-resistant, a non-resistant person, what that means. But as non-resistant people, we believe firmly that the government has the authority, and not only the authority, but the responsibility to mete out judgment on evildoers. But it is not in our position to dictate whether that should be done or not, but that we say, we pray to God for Him to give the governing authorities wisdom and direction. But we do not stand against it. Because Scripture tells us that God has given us the authorities for the terror of those who do evil. So we recognize that if the government and if the judges deem capital punishment is necessary in a certain case, we do not stand against it. But there are those who are pacifists that would stand against that and say that you should never put to death the life of another person. And usually the reasoning is, and this is all part of his, what he was saying, the reasoning behind this usually is that when you do that, there are chances, and it does happen, that when you do exercise the death penalty, that there are some times, and albeit very rare times, I think, that innocent people are put to death. So using that logic, people say, therefore, we should never exercise the death penalty. And as we think of that, we listen to that, it's like, you know what, that's good reasoning. I think I agree with that. But now continue that thought on in saying, if that's the case, and that person that was guilty now is also at some point going to be freed or being absolved of guilt sometimes because for some reason he had a good lawyer or whatever. So this person who is one who has done something that is worthy of death is free. Now you have the possibility that person is going to go out and kill more people and maybe more innocent people, for sure. So now, by taking the chance of putting to death one person that may not be guilty, there's a slim chance there, so we completely absolve the death penalty. But now that person that has committed this atrocious crime of murder before might can get free because there's no death penalty, and he goes out and he kills four other people that are innocent. The long short point of the story is there's never an absolute 100% correct answer that's perfect as we live in this world. Because using, again, he was saying this, and using this logic that there should be not death penalty because of that possibility of someone that is innocent being put to death, we should also never ever consider raising the speed limit on the highways. Because it is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you raise the speed limit from this level, say 55 to 65, that it's documented that there will be more deaths. More people will die from accidents on the highway. But they make the judgment and evaluation of what the economic benefit versus the loss of human life which benefit is greater? So there's always determinations made. Using the logic, we would say, in order to not have people die on the highways, let's lower the speed limit so less people die. Well, let's do away with cars so no people die on the highway. So there's never any 100% correct logic that carries all the way through. We always make determinations and evaluations. That being said, should that hold us back from doing and living our lives as we feel God has called us to? And I'm not going to get into much of that, but you just be thinking about that, and I'll share more on this next Sunday. What if Jesus said, I will build my church? In Matthew 16, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, and here is the question that's for you and me. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Why did he do that? That is always puzzling. Why Jesus told his disciples not to tell anyone else. As we live our life, the other Sunday, 4 weeks ago, I preached on parenting with purpose. And so next Sunday, I want to piggyback off of that in carrying out this message and continuing on. But in parenting with purpose, there was one quote that I had. It said, "Don't worry that your children never listen to you. Worry that they are always watching you." Robert Fulghum said that. To comply without understanding, it is imperative for us to teach that to our children. That they comply to our demands and our wishes, even if they don't understand. This will carry them on into many, many other areas of life, and we will touch on that next Sunday. And when our children disobey, to discipline them consistently is of the utmost importance, although at times we would rather pretend that they didn't disobey, or at least that you didn't see it or know about it. That was all in part of what I shared the other week. In closing, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." We had in our Sunday school lesson this morning of what love is. And it described these huge things, tremendous things that we could possibly do. But when it's all said and done, the love that we have for each other, the love we have for God, and it's not in me coming up to you and patting you on the shoulder and telling you that I love you. That can be a part of it, but it's much more than that. But it's my actions, what I do towards you, how I respond to you. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. There's four mandates there that he has given us as we look to what God is telling each one of us as individuals when we think of the message title of heeding his call on my life. And we'll finish with more of that next Sunday. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning, thank you again for moving through this service. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that we have the hope of eternal life because of who you are, and as you gave your Son to us in this earth to live and to die and to rise again so that we can have eternal life and that living hope. God, would you care for us this week? God, I pray for each one of the people that are involved with our school sales, the different responsibilities that are out there, that things that need to be done, the things that need to come together. Would you give us wisdom, understanding? Would you give us strength, each one, to carry out the tasks that we have this week? And most of all, God, help us to honor you with the way that we live our lives, in the way that we conduct ourselves with our spouse, with our children, and with those that we face out in the marketplace, in the workplace. Thank you again for being our God and that we can call you our Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Just...